Hey everyone, welcome to MCU Fan Show episode 307. My name is Sean Gerber. In a moment, I'll be joined by Paul Herman so that we can discuss the new trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine. Before our conversation begins, want to remind you once again about Fan Show Plus. That is the podcast that is exclusive for premium subscribers at patreon.com/SeanGerber and on Apple Podcasts via Apple Podcast subscriptions. You can just find those episodes in the same feed where you found this show, if you found it on Apple Podcasts, and subscribe there where you can hear us talk about extra MCU news and topics, as well as first impressions of the latest episodes of X-Men 97, which you all definitely should be watching if you have not started watching that series already. Please start watching X-Men 97. And then, of course, you can check out those episode reviews or those reactions via first impressions on Fan Show Plus, again, at patreon.com/SeanGerber. Or on Apple Podcasts. Also, make sure you're following along with us in those places you can. We are at MCU Fan Show on Instagram, Threads, and X, formerly Twitter. And if you are enjoying the show, we would greatly appreciate a rating and review from you over on Apple Podcasts. It really does make a difference. So thank you so much to everyone who has already taken the time to share their review. And thanks in advance to those who are about to. And now, let's freaking go. How you doing, Paul Herman?
I am doing very well. What I have in my hands right now, Sean, is the first ever hangout or team up of Deadpool and Wolverine. Wolverine issue 88. It's a fantastic, fantastic. All the characters are in red and blue background, drawn by the very, very talented Adam Kubert, which is also a relative of one of our faithful listeners, Orion. How you doing, buddy? Shout out to you. And this is a monumental occasion because, you know, this comic book is a beat to shit.
Language!
No, sorry, I shouldn't swear. Beat to crap, excuse me.
We're PG-13, so I can let that one slide.
All right, thank you.
That's why I had to clean up my let's freaking go, obviously referring to the other version of that, the Tom Brady version of that, that was on display in the aforementioned Deadpool and Wolverine trailer.
Yeah. But anyway, before we get started, I just wanted to say that this comic was very interesting before, you know, because Wolverine and Deadpool didn't really hang out when they first appeared, you know, and, you know, when he first appeared, I should say, Deadpool did in the 90s. And I remember when this happened, it was very kind of like low key. And great cover, though, and it's going to go down as probably, let's just say this right now, it's going to go down as an important moment because these two might be linked forever at this point, and we'll get into why. But yeah, this is a very special time. As a comic book fan, I have a lot to say about this, obviously, so I can't wait to get, let's freaking go!
Yeah, I am super excited to talk about this trailer. I was super excited to learn that this trailer was on the way. We found out, we're recording this on Monday night. The trailer was released early this morning. We found out yesterday that a trailer was on the way the following day, which is now here. And I was already super excited about it. I mean, look, this is the trailer that I feel like a lot of us were really waiting for, because as much as I loved the first teaser that we got back on Super Bowl Sunday, as I noted at the time, had a lot of fun with it, but also this movie is called Deadpool and Wolverine. That's when we officially learned that was that title. But regardless of the title, we've known for years now that this was going to be a Deadpool and Wolverine movie, that Wolverine was going to be all over this movie. Of course, we had already the official photo release showing us Wolverine's costume, Wolverine standing alongside Deadpool. So while I understood I want them to hold most things back from this movie as opposed to sharing it in the marketing. But since we already know that Wolverine is in it, that was my one criticism really of the previous teaser trailer, is I wanted to see Wolverine because that's what I want to see, is that team up, or rather that fight and that conflict. Like, that's what I want to see. And we finally got that in this trailer. And this is something that has long been wanted by Marvel fans. I mean, whether your fandom originated in the comic books, or if your fandom has originated from animation or even from movies, people have wanted this. And in fact, this was something that people have wanted corrected since X-Men Origins Wolverine in 2009, where it's like, we got Wade Wilson and we kind of got Deadpool, but not really, where the Merc with a Mouth could not speak in that. So we never really got what we were looking for, but it set up that idea. At least by 2009, we were obviously well aware of how incredible Hugh Jackman was as Wolverine, very well versed in that at that time, and then yet it would just continue to get better in the years that followed. But when Ryan Reynolds was cast as Deadpool, everybody kind of knew that was perfect casting, and then it just felt like it was wasted in X-Men Origins Wolverine. But that want from fans, it was still totally there. And then, of course, just got even more intense as Ryan Reynolds got to try again as Deadpool in his own series. And we, of course, saw the results of that with Deadpool and Deadpool 2. And it was just this thing that came along at almost the wrong time, because Deadpool was emerging on the big screen right about the time that Hugh Jackman was getting ready to hang up his claws. I mean, obviously you have the first Deadpool in 2016, followed by Logan in 2017, and that was kind of supposed to be it. And even with some reverence and reference from Deadpool 2 to the events of Logan, it was still just more of this thing that, you know, just felt like it was never quite going to work out, with maybe a little shred of optimism that a lot of us were clinging to and just hoping that at some point Ryan Reynolds would be able to convince Hugh Jackman to do a movie like this. And now, of course, we've known for years that this was coming, but we didn't get to actually see it play out on screen other than a photo and one officially released image, and then, you know, a silhouette at the teaser trailer, and then whatever paparazzi photos you may have seen or videos you may have seen between now and then. But this is really seeing it in this trailer. It is very much a long-held fan dream come true. Whether, again, you've been holding on to that dream since the 90s or the 2000s or whenever, either way, it's been a minute that a lot of us have been looking forward to this moment. And to finally have it here with this trailer, obviously where we'll really have it is the movie, but to have at least this piece of it in the trailer, it's just a great feeling. And I'll clean it up in a way that he didn't, but as Kevin Feige was saying at CinemaCon in Las Vegas last week, it's frickin' awesome. Only he didn't use frickin' when he dropped 4 F-bombs on stage at CinemaCon last week when he was talking about Deadpool and Wolverine, amongst other Marvel releases, and they were showing footage. And I have to agree with Kevin Feige's assessment, at least so far, based on what I have seen in these two trailers, especially in this one. On a quick side note, I do think it's hilarious that the first time Kevin Feige allowed himself to drop an F-bomb on stage, he was so excited that he had to drop 4. I know director Sean Levy talked about it being 3. No, I counted. It was 4. And I think he just couldn't help himself that he finally got to use that word in public. And privately, maybe he's always used that word plenty. But publicly, he chose his audience well. He knew that was an audience of theater owners at CinemaCon. I don't think you have to worry about Kevin Feige coming on stage and you having to shout earmuffs to the kids if you're going to see him at San Diego Comic-Con or D23 Expo later on this summer, if Marvel goes to Comic-Con, which is yet to be confirmed, but probably likely. But it's hilarious that Kevin Feige was having that excitement. And I think that same excitement, especially around the F word, certainly was very much apparent in this trailer, as well as the other message from Sean Levy that I responded to from CinemaCon last week, where he said that Deadpool and Wolverine, it's a movie built on audience joy. And I think that all comes across in this trailer, as does the F word many times. And Paul, you and I were talking off air. I think the message in that, in how many times you hear that word and variations of that word in this Red Band trailer, as well as the violence, as well as some of the crude jokes that you hear, it's the reassurance to the audience, right? This is Disney, this is Marvel Studios, but this is still Deadpool, and you're still going to get the language, the style of humor, the violence, whatever it is that you have loved about the Deadpool franchise that has required it to be R-rated when it was over at Fox. All of that is still present, although I think the success of those movies is about a lot more than what the R rating has allowed. And I also think the same is going to be true of Deadpool and Wolverine. And I think the same is apparent in this trailer, which we'll get into. But before we get into the specifics of the trailer itself, I do want to take a moment to tip my cap to Marvel Studios and the marketing for doing it right this time, I think, with Deadpool and Wolverine, because one of the criticisms that I have had for the marketing of Marvel films of late, especially with examples like the Marvels last year that was talking about, you know, we're talking about, of course, having a lot of clips from Infinity War and Endgame and other movies to just show the Marvels is part of the MCU, and also a tagline they threw in at the end, you know, be there for the moment that changes everything, which I suppose was the Beast post-credit scene that didn't seem to move the needle at all for the box office, so that didn't really work as a sales pitch. And even Quantumania, selling it as the beginning, being there to witness the beginning of a new saga and all of that. A lot of the marketing for Marvel movies of late has been based on where things stand, where a movie stands in the bigger picture of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which, and I know I've spoken at length about this on other shows, so I won't go into it here, but that perception that's out there, the common narrative that's out there about the homework problem for the MCU, well, to whatever extent that's real, and it certainly seems to be real in the minds of some, I don't think it's an insurmountable problem, and I've been over that before, but I think Marvel has contributed to that problem in the marketing by, again, talking about where films stand as opposed to really trying to sell what they are. And that's where Deadpool and Wolverine is different, and that's where it's a huge step in the right direction, is this trailer is selling what this movie is. This is a Deadpool and Wolverine fight slash team up. It is a fan dream come true. It is something people have wanted for a long time. It is something that should be a lot of fun. And oh, by the way, it is. And here are some examples of all the fun that you will have if you come to see this movie in a theater on July 26th. I absolutely love it. They are selling this movie for what it is, not where it stands. And what it is selling is exactly the kind of fun that people have been craving from just the idea of this kind of movie. So it is absolutely setting the right tone to attract audiences. And based on what we're seeing, based on what the quality of this movie appears to be, as well as the early messaging and the marketing, this has all the makings of a massive return to form level hit for Marvel Studios this summer.
I don't want to be the lazy lazy reviewer and go to low-hanging fruit, and Sean, you know that that's not me. I try to go away and zig. No,
you reach high for your fruit. I've seen it.
I try to zig when everyone zags and zags and zigs and all that good stuff, needless to say, I don't say this lightly in a way of like just being like blah, 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 blah. I get a lot of No Way Home vibe from this. And because it feels like they're really feeding off the best way possible of nostalgia slash what makes that nostalgia in the first place. And that's with all of us assuming we were going to get what we got at the end of that movie. This is a little bit different. And there's a lot of similarities, I think, too, in that way, because there's a lot of cameos we don't know about or have heard rumors of. But this plays off, I think, nostalgia and almost like the send-off of the Fox, you know, universe in a way. This is basically what's going on. And you're using all those things to your advantage, and ultimately you're not like, because we all think about Logan, right? And people who listen to the show for a long time will know I'm not the biggest fan of Logan. I think it's a lot more uneven than most people do. I think Hugh Jackman's flawless in it. The movie itself, different story. That movie ends and everyone said, how could you come back and do this? I think you're seeing the seeds of this in this trailer, that there's, you know, when you have a good story and you have like a lot of fun with that story and you know these characters, you can always continue the story. That's why comics have lived on for, you know, the mainstream comic books, these characters have lived on for, you know, 80 years or whatever. Is because the people know what makes these characters special. They can tap into that and they know how to get those emotions out and tell those great stories. They know that people will come out and they'll connect to it. That's what makes these characters so special. You can connect yourself to them one way or another, whether it be through nostalgia or you relate to them in some way or whatever. And I think with Deadpool and Wolverine, you're seeing all those things that No Way Home did with now on top of the fact that you've got, you know, Hugh Jackman coming back, it's a big deal. And, you know, the MCU is kind of in a weird state right now. It's in the most uneven state it's ever been in on the court of public opinion, you could say. And it's fascinating because, you know, I had a conversation with someone very close to me who we always get in arguments about Marvel and Star Wars. And he never listens to this, but you probably know who that probably is, Sean. but the thing is, you know, he told me, he's like, well, when's the last time they made a MCU made a good movie? I'm like, No Way Home. First thing off the head, like No Way Home. That's like an all timer. And I immediately started thinking about what makes No Way Home so good. And it's not just because you've got, I mean, it obviously what takes it over the top to like to 11 is when Toby and Andrew show up. But really, if the movie complete sucks ass until then, the movie doesn't make as much money and doesn't become an all-timer based off that alone. So I think from what I see here, we're seeing everything that Deadpool does well, right? He's conscious. He has commentary of the current days. He breaks the fourth wall, et cetera, et cetera. And you put that emotional aspect of Wolverine and Hugh Jackman, mix it with that nostalgia that No Way Home did. Who knows? Maybe this movie will suck. I have no idea. But everything that I've seen, and I know the MCU is capable of, and knowing those producers and those writers and those artists and the directors and the actors.
Yeah, I mean, they're all also capable Sean of. Levy and Ryan Reynolds as a director and actor team up.
Yeah.
Like, they've been very good together. Like, this has all the elements to be great.
Yeah, and so I'll wrap up by saying this for my opening thoughts is that I think it just shows you that this movie will probably be special in one way or another. I mean, who knows? But it feels like it really they've the whole multiverse saga is if people can say they can bash it for all they want, and there's been positives and negatives. I think it's more positive than negative, to be honest.
Agreed.
Because I freaking love Loki. Loki season 1 and 2 are all-timers too. I mean, there's a couple clunkers here or there, maybe.
When we're looking at some of the great stuff, I mean, from starting with WandaVision, just incredible.
Yeah.
2 seasons of Loki. And that's not even, this isn't even my list. Just when we're looking at where like universal praise came from,
exactly.
not just us and our feelings on it, but where you just saw overwhelming positive consensus, WandaVision, both seasons of Loki,
No Way Home.
And of course, yeah. Spider-Man, No Way Home. And also, a lot of praise in that 2021 slate. I mean, maybe not on the levels that we've seen for the MCU's greatest hits, but there's a lot of positivity around Black mm-hmm. Widow and Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, definitely. And then obviously I know, opinions are split, but you were certainly a fan of Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, bigger fan of that movie than I was. And obviously my list ends up being a lot longer when we're talking about the MCU stuff that I've loved in the Multiverse Saga. But I would say overall, more hits than misses in that time period. But I also understand that when the standard is everything is perceived as a massive positive hit and success story, when you have a few not so successful stories in the span of a few years, obviously that feels like a monumental shift in how people feel about the MCU. But I've said this before and it bears repeating here. Like, I don't think audiences make these full sail, like these full sweeps of like, this is now just the opinion of the MCU that they love it all or they hate it all. I really think they look at these things on a film by film or series by series basis in terms of making the decision of what they do or don't want to see. And I think a lot of people are going to want to see Deadpool and Wolverine because it's something people have wanted to see for a long time. And even if you're not in that group, even if you never cared to dream about a Deadpool and Wolverine movie, I think you'll see that there's a lot of fun to be had in this film. And so based on the marketing that's being shared and the way that they are pitching this movie to audiences, like, I think it all bodes very well. And it comes along at a crucial time. Obviously, this is the first thing, although, I mean, this was not entirely made and developed in the past year when Marvel has made a shift to kind of slow things down after making, too much too soon with what they were doing in the first few years of the Multiverse Saga, as mandated by folks who are higher up who wanted to make sure they had content for Disney+. But in any event, this is where we're here now. And they had time to rework this movie. And of course, I don't know that they did a whole lot of reworking anyway, but this is coming along at a really good time for the MCU to really make another positive impression and make a little bit more of a comeback, even though, as I said, it's a one film at a time thing. So even if Deadpool and Wolverine is as massive a hit as we can imagine, it doesn't mean that audiences are now back on board for everything the MCU is about to do. They're going to have to succeed each time out and have a lot more success, you know, a lot more hits than misses. That's just the way it goes. And so it doesn't necessarily fix a great Deadpool and Wolverine that's a massive hit, doesn't fix everything, but at least it moves things back in a positive direction. It's also really fortunate timing that X-Men 97, which, again, I cannot recommend highly enough.
Holy moly.
Just knowing the numbers, I'm quite sure that not everybody who listens to this podcast has been watching X-Men 97. That is not a judgment. It's okay if you haven't been watching. It's okay if you ultimately decide not to watch and you're not interested. That's totally fine. I will, however, provide the strongest recommendation that I can give that you watch X-Men 97.
Sean,
even if you haven't watched the original X-Men, the animated series, if you're just thinking mm-hmm. that's too daunting of a task to go back and watch all of that to start watching X-Men 97, you don't have to. I think you might be motivated to when you start watching X-Men 97, but don't feel like you have to do that. X-Men 97 is great on its own and gives you the information that you need to understand the story that's happening here. And there is great, great storytelling in that series that we will profile, that I've been talking about
yes.
on Fan Show Plus, that we will profile here even more so on MCU Fan Show in the weeks to come. We would have been doing it already, but we've had some scheduling issues, but we will get that ironed out and make sure we get that covered for all of you here. We really do. I know I can speak for both of us. I know we both highly, highly, highly recommend that series. So
yeah.
Apologize for digressing there a little bit, but hey, it's kind of what we do here.
I have one thing to tie it with this whole thing, because you kind of touched on already. Oh, my God. The thing about X-Men 97, which I cannot wait to talk about with everyone and do deep dives on this with you, Sean. I really can't. And for those who are wondering, the reason why it's scheduling conflicts, part of it's me. So I had my daughter's birthday. It's got crazy. So I appreciate everyone's patience. It'll be worth it. Trust me.
I've had my own stuff come up, too. I got sick. We've had issues.
But I just want people to know, if you're looking to go deep dive on X-Men, you've come to the right place when we do that, because that is my era of grew up on that X-Men stuff. We got you covered. But to talk about 97 in the Deadpool Wolverine, it's important, because I was going to bring it up. I didn't know if I should, but you already touched on it a little bit. So I want to talk about that for a quick second. I think it's important because with all we're talking about overall, the MCU, we talk about, you know, there's the court of public opinion is kind of like, but the MCU right now, you could say at its lowest it's ever been, which if this was the lowest it's ever been, you're doing pretty good still. That being said, I think it's fascinating, and I am very, very intrigued. If Deadpool Wolverine is the massive hit it is, and with X-Men 97, I wouldn't say it's a smash hit, runaway success. It's very successful, though.
Amongst those who are watching it, it is. And that's where you have the momentum is X-Men 97
exactly.
as a smaller mm-hmm. step on the way to an even bigger mm-hmm. step with Deadpool and Wolverine. And it's positive mm-hmm. energy around Marvel, around the MCU. And obviously, I think where you're headed there is obviously this bodes very well for the impending live action future of mutants in the MCU.
Yeah, the branding overall of the X-Men. And it sucks because the X-Men comics have been, like, they've been bad. And they're rebooting them right now. And I'm not optimistic, even though they have Jed McKay as a writer and Gail Simone, who are great writers. But I look at the comics, I'm like, there's too much going on. And the thing about what I love, what I'm hoping happens, is through the next couple of years with 97 and Deadpool Wolverine, the branding outside of the comics gets so much better. To where now it's like the movies are ready to go. And I honestly do feel like, as stupid as it is, that Marvel's thing, whatever you want to say, that Beast thing and now with 97, and now with Deadpool Wolverine, you're leading up, like you said, Sean, improving that brand. Because X-Men was kind of a weird brand for a little bit. Let's be real. I mean, like, it's not like Deadpool was probably the only, and Wolverine are the only things salvageable from it at that point. And now you've built it up to where, like, you're rebrand. The brand's getting back to bet almost to like the levels I thought I'd never see it again, to be honest. And that's out. That's the comics aren't doing anything for it. I'm sorry. And it's awesome to see, because I love the X-Men. Love it, love it, love it. And I think it's great that 97 is doing, let's just be real, the dirty work, to be honest, to get people kind of back on the brand. And Deadpool Wolverine, in my opinion, as we get started here, is going to probably get everyone back on track.
Yeah.
And so I can't talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely contributing to just overall positive vibes around Marvel and around the X-Men. And that certainly bodes well for what we believe to be the somewhat near future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But again, it's let the bigger picture be the thing that just develops over time. And I think, again, from a marketing perspective, what Marvel used to do a really great job at was highlighting what was great about the immediate story that they were telling. And I think somewhere along the way, they gave too much credence to the overall universe or the overall saga that it was part of. And I think they are changing that. And that really is critical, because what Marvel's messaging always used to be, whether it was Kevin Feige talking about it, but then also showing their sincerity in it, in the movie, in the stories they told, which I think for the most part they've still been true to, but in the marketing maybe haven't been as consistent with that message of what's important is the story that's right here in front of you, and the larger MCU around it, that's the bonus. That's not the hook. That's not the reason you're here. That's just adding to the fun when you do show up to watch this movie that we're selling to you for other reasons based on the individual story that we're telling. So I love that being the focus of the marketing. And frankly, what this movie is in terms of how it's being sold, as we finally, almost a half hour in, start breaking down some of the moments in this trailer, it's fairly simple. And that's also what I love about this trailer, is even though we get a lot of Wolverine in this trailer, we don't get a lot of plot. We still only know like very broad strokes of what's going on here, that the TVA is recruiting, sort of, you know, forcing, summoning, however you want to look at it, recruiting Deadpool, bringing him into the fold to save some multiversal problem. And what is at stake for Deadpool is obviously his own world, as he expresses his concern about that when he's talking to Wolverine about how he needs his help in order to save everyone he cares about, which Wolverine doesn't necessarily care about helping Wade, even with that messaging. But there's some multiversal problem. We don't fully understand what that the TVA is putting Deadpool in charge of solving. For whatever reason, we don't know, but for whatever reason, he has to recruit Wolverine to help him out in this. And that's kind of it. We don't really know. I mean, we see who we believe to be Cassandra Nova as the antagonist in the comic books, a twin of Charles Xavier. I don't know if that's going to be the dynamic for Cassandra Nova in this, or if Cassandra Nova is going to be a variant of Charles Xavier through the multiverse. Don't really know. And we don't even have that name, Cassandra Nova, mentioned in this trailer. We're just guessing still, of course, that is who it is. And I think it's a pretty good guess. So as far as that goes, like, there's still so much that we don't really know about the plot of this movie, but they don't necessarily have, I mean, that needs to be good when we see it, obviously, but in terms of selling it, they don't have to spoil that. What's the first like initial major hook for this? It's Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool and Hugh Jackman as Wolverine fighting with one another and then eventually teaming up. That's what people want to see. And that's what this really gives you a strong hint that it's going to live up to that hype. I mean, the dynamic between these two guys is great, whether it's like the whiskey clause joke at the beginning or the back and forth. I mean, at whatever little diner they're at, Wade making that joke about, are you going to tell us, you know, what happens, or are we going to need, like, you know, what happened to you? Or are you going to, do we need to wait for the third act flashback? Which it seems like we do get some form of that somewhere in the void with Wolverine. And all we know about this version of Wolverine, according to Matthew McFadden from the TVA, Agent Paradox, McFadden being the actor of Succession fame, is talking about how this is a Wolverine who let his entire world down. And so that's enough. You know, it's not maybe not necessarily the Wolverine that we saw in Logan, which preserves that story for those who want that story to remain untouched. That Wolverine died on that day and in that movie, spoiler alert, it's 7 years old, but he's gone. And so this is a different version of Wolverine, but still close enough to what we remember and what we're familiar with, obviously, as portrayed by Hugh Jackman. And these are just very simple story notes. And then a lot of great action sequences. I mean, we get some of their fight in what appears to be, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine's iteration of the Void with the whole 20th Century Fox logo and some other things in there. We get some aggressive claw maneuvering from Wolverine to Deadpool. Of course, all Deadpool firing the guns repeatedly into the sides of Wolverine. So really great Deadpool versus Wolverine action. A lot of really great Deadpool versus Wolverine dialogue. A few emphatic cheers of let's effing go through a couple of those throughout the trailer. And that's mainly it. There's more pieces that we'll get into, but this trailer succeeds through its simplicity. Like, it's not inundating you with a whole lot of information. And even the fun Easter eggs that are in this trailer, which we'll get to, they are only that. Little extra Easter eggs, again, yeah. Little bonuses to get excited about when you see them. But if you don't know what exactly that is or what exactly it means, you don't have to, because that's not what they're pushing for in this trailer. It is, as Sean Levy has described it, a two-hander of these two characters going on this adventure together and, of course, hating each other and then maybe eventually loving each other, but hating each other through most of it. Maybe a lot of love from Deadpool towards Wolverine. But then, in addition to all the fun that it's selling, part of where the Deadpool franchise has succeeded is there's some legitimate heart and emotional stakes in, there's some real nice and sweet sincerity within those movies and the storytelling. And we get some of that here, like Wade legitimately, genuinely talking about how much his world and his friends, his family, all that means to him. And obviously we're hinted at a really strong emotional arc for this version of Wolverine. And then, of course, we get the reverence, right? We get Deadpool, we get Wade talking about how you were an X-Man. You were the X-Man. And that really is true for Wade, but that's been true for certainly the movie-going audience, that where Wolverine has unquestionably, and I know often criticized for amongst other X-Men fans, but amongst the movie-going public, Wolverine unquestionably the lead of the Fox X-Men films, thanks largely to the strength of Hugh Jackman's portrayal of that character. And that's there too. And that's Wade speaking for himself, but also speaking for the audience in terms of the reverence that so many of us have for Hugh Jackman and his portrayal of Wolverine and just how cool and special it is that he is back for this story. So whether you want to play on nostalgia or you want to tug at the heartstrings or you just want to go on be fueled by the immediate fun that's to be had by Deadpool and Wolverine cussing each other out and beating each other up, it's all there in a very simple, very straightforward trailer that is a whole lot of fun, that is, you know, convincing you that the movie will be just that, even more of that whole lot of fun that this trailer offers. So as I said, it is successful in its simplicity, and that is why I love it. I love it just as a fan in terms of what I'm seeing, and I love it just as much in terms of the message that it's putting across from a marketing perspective, and really just that direct line of communication to the audience. I think it's doing such a great job.
I think you said this so many times in the show already, and I think I love to just repeat it over and over again to show, I think, what the MCU has kind of gotten away from. And this is classic for any kind of story. Anything that gets bigger and bigger is that there's always a tendency to keep adding, because when you do and there's success, you're always going to be, there's always a tendency of where could we go to push ourselves. And the word you keep using is simple. It's simple, simple premise, simple trailer. Here it is. And I think that to me has always been maybe part of the problem, like we've talked about in the marketing, or I think in general, to be honest. And I think it just goes beyond this MCU. It goes to all these franchises, to be honest, Sean, to keep things simple. And, you know, the classic less is more. I argue with my buddy Scott Rifen. who loves to say, no, more is more. I'm like, no, stop. And, you know, we argue about it. But the thing is, there is absolute truth to it, because the thing is, with less is more, and you look in the case of Deadpool and Wolverine now, you're focusing on two characters. The movie, to me, and maybe I'm completely wrong here, it's all character driven. And it's not really plot driven. You're having the characters driving everything, it seems like, at this point. And I think that you're selling the movie, like you said, the simplicity of that is all there. And I think, to me, I like this, that we're going to, maybe this will kind of show us, because if you think about it, like, even Shang-Chi is a more simplistic, just by itself kind of story, very simplistic, you know, a guy trying to, you know, get back with his roots and also make up for the mistakes he made. Kind of a story. And it's very basic in that premise. It's not tied to much, you know, else. All the stuff tied in the MCU enhanced the story, but at its core, it's still just that. It's not trying to, you know, push an overall narrative forward for the MCU. And with this, even though I think it's doing that MCU narrative drive, Sean, everything else is simple. And I think that, to me, is so critical. And I think, and obviously there's probably more complexity in the movie, but at the crux of it, we get everything we need in this trailer, and it sells everything. We get Deadpool and Wolverine shenanigans. We get Deadpool being Deadpool. We get Wolverine being Wolverine and what happens when you get them together. And the results, as we saw in over two minutes now, is flawless at this point. And I think that there's so much here to love, and I love that it's not holding back, but it's at the same time of these characters, it's not letting us in on the spoiling the fun, if you will, but it's showing you that there is a deep rooted effort here. Because I think that's the biggest thing I take away from this after watching it. I've only watched it twice, and I'm not gonna watch it again unless I go into a theater and have to close my eyes and not watch it, because I want to save everything I can for this movie. The two times I've seen it now, Sean, I'm really surprised, and I shouldn't be too surprised, because Deadpool did a good job, I think, of trying to get back to the heart of, like, Wade loving Vanessa, et cetera, et cetera. But I really love the fact that, like, we're going on, like, the basis of this, the more, you know, what drives these characters is Wade doesn't want to lose what he has, and Wolverine is, like, you know, coming to grips with what he did in the past, yeah, and what or he didn't lost. Do.
Yeah.
Or yeah, exactly. And then how that is connected with Wade, and how he can help Wade, or, you know, whatever, which we can get into long, yeah, about what's going to happen with that. But I'll wrap up with this, that it just shows you a lot more heartfelt, like, story than I was really expecting. You can, to be quite
see,
honest.
Yeah. You can see the moments in there. There's the conversation, mm-hmm, where Wade is talking about, you were an X-Man, you were the X-Man. There's a moment that looks like it's in a different setting where Wolverine is saying, trust me, kid, I'm no hero. So I'm a no lot hero. Of this is going to be, love you know, yeah, Wolverine confronting how he feels about himself and however he let his entire world down. I'm guessing it's not as simple as that. I don't think he would have chosen to let his entire world down, but something happened, whether it was within or completely outside of his control, where he doesn't feel like it worked. And so you have this jaded, cynical version of Wolverine who just doesn't feel like he can make a difference. And I think that's part of, and you could see where that emotional story would come from a character like Wolverine. And so you could see how it's not so much about, oh, he doesn't want to help. It's maybe acting like he doesn't want to help because he doesn't actually believe he can. He doesn't actually believe that he's, you know, because he's, if he feels like he's failed once before, then maybe he feels like he's only just destined to fail again. And Wade and whoever else is depending on Wade are simply better off without him. And obviously, you know, you could see the personality clashes getting in the way of maybe what could be otherwise, you know, open and honest communication. It's going to take a while to get to those moments, but those moments are going to be there. They're not the selling point that you lead with, but that is absolutely the kind of thing where, I mean, I go back to a movie like Guardians of the Galaxy in 2014, where it was sold on it being the irreverent, silly, wacky, crazy, really funny, you know, with the crazy characters, the talking raccoon and the talking tree. It was that kind of just quirky movie to go see. But where that movie became a hit and where it had tremendous legs at the box office and it just kept coming in at number one. I think it took like 1 week off for a Ninja Turtles movie and then went back to number one and stayed there for a few more weeks is because of what people were surprised to see when they saw it. Is they got all that fun that was promised to them in the marketing and then a whole lot of heart through the emotional stakes to go with it. And I see a lot of that here in Deadpool, which, again, people are familiar with if they've been following along with the Deadpool franchise up until this point. But it's good to know that that part of it, of course, is still part of the equation, because obviously that's something that Marvel Studios believes in combining along with all the fun of the MCU, is the genuine emotional stakes for these characters. That's part of the equation here for Deadpool and Wolverine, even if it's not at the top of the sales pitch. It's, you know, there's those notes in there for those of us who are seeing them and paying close attention, or maybe not even paying all that close attention. You can see it there along with all the other stuff. And the action looks great too. I mean, shots of like Deadpool and Wolverine unleashed on the TVA and so much great stuff happening in the void. Like there's so much cool stuff. That fight between Wolverine and Cassandra Nova, where Cassandra Nova just using telekinetic powers to just take care of Wolverine, like all of that just looks awesome. I mean, yeah, Wolverine not looking like he's going to be able to overcome that, but I'm guessing Wolverine and Deadpool will somehow win out in the end. But you see teases of Cassandra Nova as a formidable antagonist, of course, and then just lots of other cool, fun stuff. Like, I mean, the whole, like, the muzzle on Wade's gun being like, smile, wait for the flash when he draws his gun on Wolverine early in the trailer. That's awesome. And then you just see, I mean, the void is just like filled with stuff. I mean, there's the giant man head, which is a severed giant man head / Ant-Man. Like when you see it start to open, there's a skull in that. That's not an empty helmet. That's the giant man who died somewhere in the void. And I also, speaking of the void, like we do see Eliath in there as well. But with all the void stuff, all the TVA stuff, what I think continues here and what was apparent in the previous trailer, again, going back to that idea of homework, I don't think it's going to matter if you've seen Loki. I think you'll maybe get a little bit more out of this movie if you've seen Loki. But clearly they are, because they're going to have, the TVA has to explain who they are to Wade Wilson, which means they have to explain who they are to the audience. The void is going to have to be explained to Wade Wilson, and therefore it's going to be explained to the audience, which means you're not going to be lost if you haven't been watching Loki. Loki is not required reading. It is not required viewing or homework. That must be completed before you watch Deadpool and Wolverine. And that is key. Like, yes, there will be elements to it that, again, if you are fully caught up in the MCU, you'll have a little extra fun with Deadpool and Wolverine. Again, the MCU continuity is the bonus, but it's really about the story here and now that has to be the most satisfying part. And it looks like Deadpool and Wolverine has its priorities in order with that, which, again, I think for the most part, even in the multiverse saga era, has been true of the MCU. But here's kind of an even more emphatic declaration of that from Marvel Studios to really make sure it's clear that that's what they're focusing on. And there's other fun stuff too. Again, Easter eggs that people may not catch, like that car, which we saw very quickly in the previous teaser trailer, looks like maybe Johann Schmidt's car from Captain America: The First Avenger. Elsewhere, we see, like, you know, of course, Rob Liefeld, creator of Deadpool. We see that there's Liefeld's only feet in whatever shop they're walking by later in the trailer. We see, in terms of more MCU stuff, I mean, the big moment toward the end of the trailer when they're jumping through a sling ring portal, which obviously brings, you know, the Doctor Strange or some other master of the mystic arts somewhere into this equation of Deadpool and Wolverine. And then obviously the fun at the end, right? Like, you know, cocaine being the one thing that Feige said was off limits, and the Blind Owl, you know, all their different references for it, you know, bringing it home with, do you want to build a snowman? It's them being able to have all the irreverent fun and being able to do exactly what you would want Deadpool to do in a movie distributed by the Walt Disney Company, is being able to acknowledge and have some fun with that. But again, let a Deadpool movie, even if it's now Deadpool and Wolverine, let that still be an R-rated Deadpool and Wolverine movie. And that is emphatically stated and demonstrated in this. But one thing we haven't mentioned yet, Paul, that I'm sure you geeked out about from a visual standpoint is, yes, the Wolverine suit has sleeves, but at some point those sleeves get ripped off. And we see Hugh Jackman, who's worked very hard on those arms and deserves an opportunity to be able to show them at some point in the movie. Yeah, the suit looks great. I still believe, as I'm sure you do, Paul, and I know because we've talked about this before, and I know many out there, I think the mask is coming, but I'm totally fine with that visual being saved for the movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Like I absolutely believe they can hold on to that one, because we've already known that we were getting Hugh Jackman as Wolverine in this movie for quite some time, and that's fine to leave that as is. And if the mask is in the movie, I don't want to see it until it's on like a giant IMAX screen or whatever big screen I see this movie on the first time. I would like to save it for that. I do not want to see it ahead of time. Let there be a mystery of whether or not we're actually going to see it, and give me the answer when I actually sit down to watch Deadpool and Wolverine in its entirety.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, and I've said, we talked about this before too. I think it's going to be a story element. I think it's what's going to end up, because we're building up to the classic costume, because he's got the arms at one point, you know, and so because they fight when he's got the full cost, like the full yellow costume on. And so then he has no sleeves. So we're getting closer and closer to the classic costume. It almost feels natural. And because I'll be honest, I do want white eyeballs. And I think, you know, for Batman, it doesn't really work. But for Deadpool and for Wolverine, I think it could work. And I think that, like, there's a way to transition to having the white eyeballs.
Yeah, I mean, they're just lenses in a suit, slash helmet.
But you get what I'm saying? Like, I think visually for the audience to buy that and not laugh at it and actually go and think it looks kind of rad is by having it be inspired by Deadpool, kind of a thing. And it feels like that's what it's going to happen. Like, it's going the whole time Wade's going to say, like, look at the camera and go, "We're trying. I'm trying." You know,
he's like, yeah, I mean, I could totally see the sleeves being his adjustment. Like, he cuts them off in the battle and all of that. So, and by the way, like, I'm aware as far as Hugh Jackman, like, obviously he has his own history with skin cancer, and some have speculated that's why the suit has sleeves, regardless of the reason. Mm-hmm. Well, first off, for health reasons, absolutely do it. But even if that wasn't part of the decision-making process, I like the suit with sleeves. I also like it without. So I like that in this movie, we are getting both. So I like that we get both looks on that. But I could see it being a thing of Deadpool making these adjustments and also even calling out that he wants to see the mask, and then eventually it happens. Or Deadpool being like, you know, this version of Wolverine, like presumably other versions of Wolverine in the Fox films, has no idea what Deadpool's talking about. But Deadpool knows that Wolverine wears a mask and other things, and he knows that we know. He knows that he wants it. He knows that we want it. Because again, Deadpool is aware. He talks to us in the audience. He is aware of us as the audience. He knows what we want to see. And so I just feel like Deadpool is going to be the one who pushes for that and ultimately gets Wolverine to wear it. And that's not to say this movie is going to be a failure. Like, what if we don't get what we want? What if he never wears the mask? If it's still a great movie, I'm still going to love it to pieces and be totally fine. But man, if we get that as an added bonus, I will absolutely take it, and I know I will totally flip out in a theater. Like, it will be there will be a lot of incredible moments in this movie, right? I'm sure, but that would certainly be among the most incredible.
Okay, so before we wrap up here, I gotta ask you, when they're jumping in that portal, is that the end of the movie? Is that the end of the movie with Doctor Strange being like, we need you?
Because I feel
like Secret Wars, like, he's already the Multiverse of Madness. He's kind of dived in there.
I don't think it's the end. I think that's them escaping the void, because like behind that portal, it looks like it's Eliath. Like, you see the big purple cloud, and still that kind of barren desert looking area that a lot of, you know, this version of the void feels like, or this section, this area of the void. So it looks like that's how they're getting out of, maybe that's the end of the movie. I mean, who knows? Maybe the big payoff and climactic battle is inside the void, and this is them like leaving to go to the MCU. That is totally possible. I mean, and look, last shots have been in trailers before. Like, they sneak them in. So I won't be shocked, but I also feel like there's a big chunk of this movie that they're holding back. that they're not showing any of. And so that's where I'm like, this is maybe what gets them to that point where like, we're not seeing any of this in the trailers.
I think, how about this? Either way, I bet Doctor Strange plays a part at the very end. I'm going to recede it now. Yeah.
I mean, whether it's at the end of the movie or whether it's a cameo in the movie or a mid or post credit scene. Yeah. It just seems like a good spot for Doctor Strange to pop up.
Yeah. That's what I think is going to happen. And I think we're going to get, it's going to be the first foray into Secret Wars. Cause we all know Hugh and let's be real. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I think everyone knows, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine are coming in for Secret Wars. There's no way they're not, especially after this movie, this everything right now. The hype, I will be shocked.
It certainly seems more likely than not. At the same time, like I want to go into this movie with the perspective of like
same.
Just in terms of conditioning my own myself and my own response as a fan, like I don't actually believe this is it for Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, but hey, you know what? I don't want to count on anything. So I want to go in and appreciate this as, you know, the one time thing of a reprisal of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Do I really believe that's it? That's it? No. But I still want to go into it with the right mindset of just, you know, treating this for how special it has the potential to be and hoping that it, believing and hoping that it will ultimately realize that potential. And then, yeah, whatever we get after that is a bonus. And again, the Secret Wars of it all and how this movie ties in, sets up whatever, I don't even want that to necessarily be, I mean, we can muse about it here for a little bit, but like, I really hope, and I think in the marketing by Marvel and Disney for sure, but also even amongst the fan conversation, like, some of that's on us too, in the way we talk about and appreciate these things. It can't always be about the hype of what's coming down the road. Like, let's look at what's right in front of us. And for now, for the MCU, at least for live action, for sure, like this is the next thing. So let's put our focus onto this thing for what it is here and now. And then once we see it, we can talk about, you know, where things go from there. You know, if we want Marvel to have that mindset, it kind of helps us as fans to have to adopt a similar mindset. Again, doesn't mean we can't do any future gazing and any speculate and offer any speculation. We can, we have, we will. But it's also got to be with while keeping in mind the idea that just as it is for Marvel, like for us as fans, like, you know, our mission has to be hoping that we can appreciate the present story that's being offered to us, or the very, very near future story that's being presented to us with Deadpool and Wolverine. And so far, it looks really good. And one thing that is not part of this trailer, but was part of descriptions of CinemaCon footage, and I'm not going to go through all of that because it was 9 minutes of footage, a lot of which, of course, is not in either of the trailers, although they did a good job from what I could tell of keeping things mostly spoiler-free. But there was a line of dialogue that was near and dear to my heart, something to the effect of Deadpool looking at Wolverine's suit and saying, "Friends don't let friends leave the house dressed like they play for the Los Angeles Rams," which as a Los Angeles Rams fan, I deeply appreciate a shout out to the Rams, even if it is, you know, somewhat of a, I don't know that it's really a shot at the Rams color scheme, but in any event, I am happy and delighted by that reference and hope it makes the final cut of the actual film. So I know this is not Paul's favorite thing as a rival Seattle Seahawks fan, as a devoted member of the Ramily, I deeply appreciate it. I do not leave the house looking like I play for the Los Angeles Rams. I don't think anybody would ever mistake me for someone who plays for the Los Angeles Rams, but I do often leave the house looking like I could coach for the Los Angeles Rams. So, I appreciate it, but my friends let me leave the house looking like that all the time. So it's not that bad of a thing. And for Wolverine, he should leave the house looking like that because his suit's awesome. So Paul, any closing thoughts on this trailer?
No, man, I'm just, listen, I'm extremely hyped. I've been itching to watch my 4Ks of the X-Men movies again, and this is making me inch closer to it. X-Men 97, people.
Don't worry, buddy. I'll be assigning some homework.
Yes, yes. That's the only way I can get stuff done, it seems like, Sean. So I love it. And people who are excited about 97, trust me, you're going to get get your popcorn ready. That's all I got to say, because it's going to be deep dive in X-Men lore. Yeah, it's going to be a blast. I can't wait.
Yeah, we've got some X-Men 97 coverage coming your way. There's already plenty of it on via Fan Show Plus. So you can check that out at patreon.com/Sean Gerber or on Apple Podcasts via Apple Podcast subscriptions. But more coming, more of that coverage coming to MCU Fan Show in the near future. And also, as I was teasing with Paul's homework assignment, I know homework is like the bad word for the MCU these days, but this is like fun stuff for those who want to do it for the purpose of this podcast. It was already stuff that I was, you know, making plans for, but I'm even that much more inspired by these trailers we've been treated to for Deadpool and Wolverine. So exactly what shape that's going to take is to be determined, but we are definitely going to be doing some retrospective pieces and looking back on the Fox Marvel years to, you know, again, get ready for that and share some, get in that reverential mindset that Wade Wilson has towards Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. We're going to get into some of that. I don't know that we're going over every stop on that road to Deadpool and Wolverine, but we'll definitely cover some of the big ones, the most enjoyable ones with some of those films, as well as, of course, the previous two Deadpool films, which we have, of course, covered here on the podcast. But it's been a while since we looked at those movies, and we certainly want to make sure we're all caught up and ready. Although you don't have to be caught up, you can just watch Deadpool and Wolverine. But for those who want to take a look back at the journey of how we got here, or maybe hear about what that journey was like for the first time because you weren't around for it for whatever reason, that's totally fine too. Similar to, you know, maybe I don't know that it's necessarily going to be what we did for Road to Infinity War, but something along those lines, some retrospective pieces coming up on the history of the Fox Marvel universe, but more specifically for Hugh Jackman as Wolverine and Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. So that's coming up in the weeks ahead here on MCU Fan Show, in addition to additional coverage of X-Men 97 and whatever other delightful news Marvel sends our way in the days and weeks ahead. But just to wrap up real quick on this Deadpool and Wolverine trailer, I love it on so many different levels. I think I love it for the message that it sends from a marketing perspective, but then just as a fan, it's hitting all the notes of everything I would hope and want from a Deadpool and Wolverine movie. There is a lot of promise, a lot of potential being put on display, and what they are showing me has me feeling that much more confident in their ability to meet the incredibly high bar where this movie that is set in the minds of fans, which again, got to keep our expectations in check and not necessarily think it has to be the greatest thing ever in order to be successful. But wherever it lands in the overall rankings and pantheon of MCU films, of Marvel cinematic adaptations of Marvel Studios universe or others, I think, you know, I'm quite confident that what we're going to see this July is going to be very, very special and a whole lot of fun. And it certainly looks that way in the two glimpses that we've had at this movie so far. But that is it for this edition of MCU Fan Show. Please make sure you check out Fan Show Plus at patreon.com/Sean Gerber or on Apple Podcasts via Apple Podcast subscriptions. Make sure you are following us in those places you can. We are at MCU Fan Show on Instagram, Threads, and X, formerly Twitter. If you are enjoying the show, we would greatly appreciate a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again to those who have shared their review, as well as those who are about to. Paul, where can they find you?
You can find me on X, formerly Twitter, at Herman22 with two N's, aka P-Thug. Also, please go over to my YouTube channel, The Comic Binge, and subscribe. Got plenty of Marvel content in the playlist sections for you. MCU required reading, tons and tons of deep dives on comics there. Also have some X-Men 97 content coming up next month. Also, next month, I'm really excited to do a Furiosa/Mad Max Fury Road comic book connection, which is maybe a lot more complex and nuanced than you realize. So if that intrigues you, it's going to be a fun episode. I've got a great comic book artist coming on the show. Other people talk about the movie, but also the comic book connections of that movie. And I'm super stoked for Furiosa. So check it out. Lots of fun stuff on the binge. Every week we have a new episode. So yeah, go check us out.
And you can follow me on X, formerly Twitter, and Instagram at Mr. Sean Gerber. So for Paul, I'm Sean. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.